follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Great moments in history have begun with a question.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
And what kind of hair product does Mitch Moss use? But Follow the Money wants to know.
Do you concur? Concur with what, sir? Do you concur?
All right, love it. In lieu of yesterday, it is outrageous to suggest we should have neutral site games for the AFC and NFC.
Do I concur?
Yeah.
Who's doing that?
Mike Florio. I retweeted it. He says it was unwatchable and unplayable in the fourth quarter of the AFC title game. You must look at neutral site games because that's not the right way to decide a trip to the Super Bowl.
It's one of the silliest things I've ever heard in my entire life.
Come on.
I can't believe somebody would actually, a football person would have that thought enter their brain and then say it out loud.
And then last week.
That's embarrassing.
He's on the coverage on NBC. He loved how it was so cold in Chicago. But he had a problem with the snow.
And you can have him.
I can't believe it.
I've done a 180 on that guy from like 15 years ago. That 180 happened, the pivot happened many, many years ago on him.
Mike, come on.
That's honestly one of the, come on, again.
It's just, it's too bad.
Does he even like the sport to say that?
Yeah. That's why you play the whole season.
Like that's,
and you get, that's why that other angle, and listen, they were great. Stafford was awesome. They just couldn't get stops. But that's why that angle is incredible the last 50 years. Indoor team playing outdoors in a title game is now 0-16 straight up.
Yeah. Also, football was meant to be played in conditions like that.
Yes, it was. That was great.
I'm from the Midwest, so that's all I grew up in. And it was amazing. And to think otherwise is just the thought that Buffalo is going to go to a dome stadium next year, crushing. I can't imagine if Green Bay goes to a new stadium sometime. Hey, we're going to have a dome.
There could have been a turnover. You know, someone could have fumbled. I think if Lutz makes that field goal, that thing goes on and on and on. And they keep playing, and it goes up against the NFC title game like 1998 when the Minnesota-Atlanta NFC title game went deep into the night and went to overtime.
Did they talk about that? Like, had that game gone to, like, double overtime yesterday?
Nothing you can do.
And it's, like, 7 o'clock Eastern time. What do they do with the other game?
You got to start it.
You have to.
You can't make them sit around.
No.
That's what they did with the Jets and the Broncos. They had to start it.
Huh.
I think once they rejoined that game, because I was devastated when the Vikings lost, it was already 7-0 Jets in that game. Based on what happened again, not taking the field goal, bad conditions, backup quarterback, your defense is balling. You threw 31 times. Again, Sean Payton's power rating takes a hit. Do you concur?
Well, I don't have a problem with him throwing 31 times. That's because I had Sidham's prop over, and he had 21 passes at halftime, and he still couldn't get there, which has hurt my feelings yesterday. But you couldn't run the football either. Overall, yeah, I think he's – I don't think we can talk about this guy as some great genius on the offensive side and play caller and mastermind with the coach. That and doubling down, saying I wanted 14-0. You're greedy at that point. It's not the right move to make.
No.
If you take that field goal and you make it, by the way, I'm not going to say take the points because nothing's automatic. But if they make that field goal up 10-0, entirely different ballgame. Who knows how it plays out? They might be in the big game against Seattle.
Yeah.
So now I think he has to take a big hit with the power rating overall.
We won't see another Super Bowl like this. 60-1 against 80-1. Do you concur?
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be unlikely. And yet here we are with the one seed against the two seed. Now, people are going to be searching around for very easy schedules next year and, like, teams that finished in worst place or last place last year. They go, like, worst to first, new head coach, maybe a young quarterback to find that new Patriots team. But also, we talked about this the entire time, right? Who's going to take advantage of this in the AFC? No Mahomes, no Jackson, no Burrow.
Right.
Josh Allen couldn't do it. Bo Nix got hurt with the one seed. And New England did. So they're the one team that came out shining above everybody else in that conference when they did not have to go against those three quarterbacks. So, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Let me go with this.
I got one for you here.
Yeah.
No more doubting Sam Darnold.
Oh. Okay.
Do you concur?
Elaborate.
Well, the guy played his, you know what's
up. No, but I can still say I could be concerned about him in the Super Bowl. That's how that's how they could lose the game.
Can't
I can.
Can't
he led the league in turnovers. Mm-hmm. Yes, I can.
They can't say it.
I can say bad decision. Like if I don't know, if Seattle moves on from him or whatever, it can't. Or next year, I can't say, I don't like. He's a good quarterback. He had a great year. I can still say the Patriots have a chance to win. Darnold led the league in turnovers.
No, the Patriots have a chance to win, but I don't think that you can have doubt about Sam Darnold in a big game.
Yes,
he was magnificent yesterday.
He was, but he also has a couple. He also was awful in the first meeting against the Rams.
He was really good the second time.
But he led the league in turnovers. I can still say a little worried. Maybe he throws a couple interceptions. Gonzalez picks him off.
Well, that's going to be.
The Patriots win a low scoring game. And it, you know.
So then, but what if he's awesome in the Super Bowl? Then you're going to wipe it away because of one more performance and say, oh, can't doubt him anymore? This is going to be the ultimate I told you so game from you. If he's bad, you're going to say, I told you so.
No, I will not.
Yes, you will.
It's like what happened last year. I refuse to believe Mahomes could get blown out or lose with the mystique. See, we all agreed the Chiefs were lucky last year, right? Come on, Patriot fans. But I just refuse to believe that Mahomes would stink in a big game and they would get blown out and he couldn't complete a pass, you know, whatever, when you handicapped the Super Bowl. And then it happened. And I still refuse to believe, while it was going on in play, that they wouldn't come back and at least make it interesting. But that I can't do that anymore. It's like, yeah, he can get blown out. Yeah, he can lose a big game. Yeah, he can perform poorly on the big stage.
Well, anybody can, I guess. I mean, Drake May has not been great in the playoffs so far. The floor is yours on this one.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City is losing in the playoffs. Do you concur?
I'm getting there, yes. It's just something not right. You keep losing to bad teams. And just when you look like you were straightening it out after you had your issues against San Antonio, then you lost to Indiana and Toronto back-to-back home games. Something's off. Something's amiss. And the Spurs are very good.
I hope the
Rockets are good.
That was actually your question. I don't really believe that. I think they're not going to lose.
Because of a seven-game series?
Yes, it'll play on the seven-game series. I don't want to panic. I hope that they actually do, and I hope it's the San Antonio in the Western Conference Finals because I have the Spurs to win the West.
I will set the over-under at 2.5 years and go under Mike McCarthy's tenure in Pittsburgh. Do you concur?
I'm going to go over, so I don't concur. Pittsburgh's too loyal.
62!
I know it. Of all guys for the Pittsburgh Steelers to hire, that one really floored me.
I was stunned.
Yep. But based on... Now, again, that went against the grain because they've only had three hires since we've been alive. Noel and DeCower and Tomlin, and they were all super young when they hired the guys. So this is against the grain and against what they have done in terms of their overall hires. So maybe they would say, boy, this is a mistake like a year and a half in, but I think they'll give him at least... I mean, Jerry Jones gave him 3 years.
Well, come on. He did that to the Clapper. He gave a lot of guys too long. Too long of a stay. Luke, can you put the picture up? FTM at vsin.com or tweet at us as well. What'd you think Saturday? Skyscraper on Netflix was disappointing. Do you concur?
Boy, you are so difficult to please.
Did you like that? What'd you think?
Well,
I'm afraid of heights, so I was freaked out. But it's like trying to wrap my head around.
What did you want? Did you want him to fall off the building?
That's why some people watch, though.
Well, I'm guessing yes.
That's why most people watch. They were wanting to see the tragedy unfold. And it's windy as hell.
Is that why you were watching?
No, I wanted to see just what the spectacle and what it
so
looked
why
like.
Were you disappointed then?
Well,
what were you expecting?
Took him a long time.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Moving along already. Come on.
Oh, my God. You are such a difficult
judge. Did
you
like it? Did you like it?
I mean, my...
What would you give it for a grade?
So I'm okay with heights when it comes to certain things, which sounds a little weird. That, to me, makes me queasy.
No kidding.
But it's...
Look how... Oh, man. Windy and blowing up, just hanging on. One mistake, it's over.
I don't think it disappointed. I think it was riveting. I think it was incredible television. I think they got what they paid for here.
Were you an Evel Knievel guy? Like kind of the Daredevil
stuff?
Yeah,
I liked it. I liked it, yeah.
Even David Blaine? I'm gonna, you know... Oh, wow.
Like, I don't... Do planes give you a problem?
I don't like to fly, but I can handle it.
See, I'm not... overall, I just... I could never fathom doing something like this.
No way.
It's completely unrelatable,
right.
But that's why...
Yeah, how do you say this is my goal?
Did you hear about that? Evidently, I was told this yesterday. Now, this is secondhand, so I don't know if this is true or not. He was born without that... What is it, like a gland in your brain, I believe? that allows a person to sense fear.
No way.
He's fearless, from what I was told. He's incapable of feeling fear. If that's accurate, then sky's the limit for him. prove that on Saturday.
That was interesting. Yeah. Right.
So, like, the queasing, like, watching Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible 4 gave me the willies when he's climbing that building,
scene.
Right?
That is a great scene.
But I have no problem with roller coasters. I went...
I can do a roller coaster.
You may or may not know this, but I did go skydiving before.
See, I would never do that. Why? One thing goes wrong, it's ballgame.
Yeah, but if it doesn't go wrong, I live to tell about it. It was the most exhilarating...
It was?
Oh, my God, it's unbelievable.
I would never do that, ever.
I don't want to do it again.
Never do that.
But the memory I have of that and the feeling at the time, you can't describe it.
I did the ride at the top of the stratosphere at the big shot.
Great, it's great.
I'll never do it again.
Oh, I've done it 15 times. It's so good. I love it.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it. ProfitX, number one place for college basketball player props. They offer all players in all schools in every state. ProfitX is available. When we get closer to the madness, take advantage of ProfitX 20% purchase match. Download ProfitX now. Experience the future of winning. Promo code VEASAN to get started. Go get ProfitX and the match up to $100 in bonus cash.
How about 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter? Charlotte leads Philadelphia 116.
They're coming back.
75.
Yeah, it was 47.5 in play at the end of three.
Maxey averages 30 on the year. He has 6.
Oh, man.
Marquee hoops on the schedule tonight, including maybe the best team in the country playing against potentially the best player in the country.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Message from friend of the show, Ian. 100% right about skydiving. Greatest natural high you're ever going to have. That's the best way to describe it. For those of you who have also, if you're in the exclusive club of skydiving like I am, you can tweet the show at VSiN Live at Mitch Moss Radio at Paulie Howard. How would you describe it? How about the people that have like 3,000 jumps under their name?
Yeah, I
guess. That's. I mean,
God bless you.
Yeah, it's such an adrenaline rush, man.
When I went to visit family in Anchorage, my cousins are pilots.
God's country.
And they took me up in one of the small, and I lost my lunch immediately.
Oh, did you?
And yes.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah.
I've been on a couple of helicopter rides before.
Uh-huh.
We did one last time we were in Hawaii with the doors off. That one got me.
Really?
Oh my God. With the doors off.
Looks good. Okay.
And I like, again, the first helicopter ride I was ever on, I loved it. I thought it was amazing. The second time, no doors. Lorraine thought I was going to throw up the entire time. I was like ripping the ceiling off the helicopter. I was hanging on so hard. That would just hit me. Nothing I could do. 20 minutes of like misery. Please land this helicopter now.
Did you do the driving in the front seat with a NASCAR driver?
I did.
200
miles an hour.
Okay.
It feels like you're going 40.
Yeah.
Bonkers.
I thought F1 was pretty good with Brad Pitt, but those scenes out there when he's racing in Vegas.
Yeah.
But that's, again, one thing goes wrong.
I know. Yeah, that'd be a bad way to go.
It's a tough one.
Yeah. Okay, what do you make tonight? Incredible doubleheader on ESPN with college basketball. And Saturday was one of the... Like, no hyperbole here. Mm-hmm. Big, I think, is the best day ever for freshmen with all these guys going crazy in their games. And it started with the Illinois game. It continued with AJ DeBanza, who's in action tonight. You had Kingston Flemings going crazy for Houston. Others were chiming in as freshmen. But now you get undefeated Arizona. KenPom has them now number one overall ahead of Michigan at BYU. This is at 9:00 Eastern. And when you look at, this is kind of like all over the map with the projection sites. Now it's circa down to pick. Mm. Yeah. Bart Torvik makes Arizona about 4.5. Greg Peterson here at the network makes BYU 2.
Well, kudos to Greg. I will say, and I could be wrong, but this is one of the toughest places to play in the country.
True.
And look at the total, 167. Both teams in the mid-80s, what they average a game. So a lot of respect for Arizona. I think it's great. Now that football's winding down, we still have three undefeated teams.
How cool is that?
The big one tomorrow in Nebraska. How about Michigan laying 10 against Nebraska? How about that? In any event, Nebraska, Arizona, Miami, Ohio, and they all can score. But this is a lot of respect here for Arizona in a tough environment and a lot of rabid fans who are going to be going crazy. And BYU can light it up. And you're right about the – I can't believe how good these freshmen are and how great this draft class is going to be. And we got the other – Boozer playing tonight, too.
That's right.
As Duke's laying 8.5. But what these freshmen did over the weekend and how they all can score and fill it up. And all these teams that have good records also are high-flying and high-scoring.
Yeah. Can you imagine, again, this year if Oklahoma City gets those picks? Now, the Clippers were trending to be like a top-5 pick for, you know, the first half of the season anyway. They've gotten a lot better lately. But imagine if they were able to get their hands on a Bucket Jones or DeBanso or Boozer or somebody like that. BYU, 20th in points per possession on offense, 23rd allowed on defense. Arizona, third overall in the country in rebounding percentage. BYU is 25th there. So the Wildcats here have an edge on the boards in this game tonight. Away from home, Arizona, less than 33% from deep. And here's where the game could be really decided. Arizona is 73% from the line overall, but 140th overall in the country. BYU at home at the stripe, higher than 77%. Both teams almost average about 90 on offense. Arizona allows 67.5, BYU about 70. And when you look at overall KenPom numbers, Arizona fourth on offense, third on defense, BYU 12th and 25th. BYU is 9-0 straight up at home, scoring at least 85 points in 8 of those games, but their shoot may be some cause for concern. Their shooting has dipped here in recent games, down about 8%+ last three effective field goal percentage over their season average. I wanted to make a case for BYU in the points. That's no longer a thing. Let's pick them.
They have blasted teams. And that's when I started the Arizona-Michigan against the field talk.
Mm-hmm.
But now Michigan has had their issues playing some close games, at least not covering. But to blast Auburn by 30 and Bama by 20 and the Aztecs by 23 and K-State by 25 and West Virginia 30, like Kellogg says, spurtability and how the big run's coming and they're going to blast you and how many points they can score. But I just – they were in the Mountain West Conference for a time, and I just know how difficult it is to play and win.
For sure. Now, how good is this conference, by the way? I mean, it gets better every single year.
Yeah. Texas Tech, Houston, yeah.
I also think that when you fast forward to March Madness, we have so many good teams at the top yet again this year, and I just think this year is going to be super special because the amount of superstar talent that will be taking the floor with all these young players at any given time during the first 4 days of the Madness, it's going to captivate the entire country with how much talent's going to be out there.
And
when you project ahead to the first round draft this year in the NBA, how good the talent is overall. It's great. I love it. The other one, you said Duke up to 8.5 now. I watched the first time they played against Louisville. Louisville had them buried in the first half. They were up by double-digit points. They were hitting everything from downtown. Then they cooled off, and actually Duke covered the game. They won outright, and the total is 157 here. Duke is third overall in net rating at KenPom. Louisville 16th.
Uh-huh.
Duke is also top five on offense and defense. Louisville is 34th overall on defense. Louisville has to make their threes. They take a ton. They don't get to the free throw line a lot. I think in order for this to for them to keep it close, what I'd like to actually have this for an in-play standpoint tonight where Louisville gets off to a hot start and maybe they're hitting everything from downtown. They jump on Duke, take a lead. I'd like to get involved with Duke in play to come back and win the game based on Louisville settling down a little bit, not having everything go in.
I'm a little bit concerned about the spot for the Lakers tonight. Saturday night, they go to Dallas. They get the big win, Luka going back. He was solid in the fourth quarter and great defensively.
God, they were down by like 15 in the fourth quarter.
But this is a 8-game road trip. They're 2-1 so far on the road trip. So now after the big comeback and the big win Saturday, the stop tonight's in Chicago. And they were at some point the dog. Now they're laying 1.5 at DraftKings and they're laying 1 at Circa. But I'm concerned about the turnaround here and that they're in the middle of this 8-game road trip. And the other thing, as I mentioned Friday, and they got blasted against the Clippers, was that this story on by Baxter Holmes on the Buss family, and in it there were shots taken at LeBron that he could retire. If he wants to stay a Laker, he has to take a pay cut, or he can move on. But the comments made by Jeannie Buss about LeBron and several shots taken at him in that article, and then it's saying, I don't care and I don't talk to the owner, no big deal. But see if the Bulls are game here. But still, I think it's a bad spot for the Lakers. And in any event, should be a lot of points with how they're playing and not doing a good job defensively in the last 2 months. 235 the total.
I'll give you a player prop that Zach Cohen here at the network does a great job with Hardwood Handicappers podcast that he does every single day. Also, the write-ups on the website. He put me on Jalen Tyson for the Cavaliers a couple games ago, his points prop. So Sam Merrill has been ruled out for this game tonight. Darius Garland is also out. And earlier today at VSiN.com, Zach said that Tyson over 14.5. I'll have to double check if that's still the number. I doubt it now that Merrill's officially out. But the last time Tyson actually played with Merrill in the lineup, Garland was out. He had 17 points. Now, again, no Merrill tonight. But going back in his last 8 games, he's really coming on. 23. There are 2 games in a row, 11 and 12. But he had 39, 16, 14, 17, and 17. Another guy here that can fill it up offensively. And I think if it's still 14.5, I think that's absolutely worth a play. But I got to double check and see where that's at now. And the Blazers taking on the Celtics. Avdija is still questionable as of right now for Portland tonight. If he plays, don't you want Portland in the points? Boston kind of in a little bit of a rut here.
Yes. He's a fantastic player. I mean, he fills up the box score. And I'm not ready to say that the Cavs have figured it out, but at least the Cavs are playing better as they've won 7 of 10. And Orlando has had a disappointing season thus far.
I would agree.
Yep.
And another one, too, would be there's no Ja Morant tonight. Now, the Rockets can play lockdown defense. They can play in lower-scoring games for
great on a glass.
Today's NBA, you're right. But Cam Spencer, point guard out of UConn, his assist prop when Ja doesn't play has been fantastic. And he's been getting double-digit assists in some of these games when Ja's not there. Last check, it was either 6.5 today or 7.5 was over that, was plus money. So, again, total 224.5 tonight. It's not going to be easy against Houston, but that might be worth a bet as well.
Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. Right now, when you spend $129, you get 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus 50% off site-wide. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN. Check out the website and the menu and the variety delivered right to your door. $129 gets you 2 pounds of wings, 50% site-wide, steaks and more. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN. Minimum purchase required. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN. Get to the website now.
How good that chicken looks. Every time you do the read, the graphic pops up for the radio audience here on the TV side. Man, oh, man.
Burgers are awesome.
Absolutely.
Whole menu's great.
Up next, Warren Sharp on the program. His reaction to the 2 games yesterday. An early look as well for the Super Bowl as we continue on. Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
NFL time. Warren Sharp joins the program. He has every Monday at this time throughout the entire football season. Follow him on X at Sharp Football. Website is sharp.football. He's on the Progressive guest line. Hey, Warren, good afternoon. You know, we've talked a lot about both those games yesterday so far. And as somebody holding Rams futures tickets, that was a tough one to swallow. What did you notice? I had a huge problem with how the Rams obviously decided to play football in the final couple of minutes there of the second quarter and also how it opened up in the third quarter. What about you?
I definitely thought that there was an issue there with how Sean McVay was managing that situation. They have the ball with the lead. They're up 13 to 10. There's under 2 minutes left to go, and they've got 2nd and 5. And if they could run out the clock. There's 1:09 left. They could basically end the game, end the half with the lead assured. They might be able to score more points, maybe not, if they simply call a run play on 2nd and 5. And the Seahawks aren't going to be calling a timeout there. You're probably going to gain a couple of yards. Maybe you get a first down. Maybe you set yourself up with 3rd and short. The game, the clock's just going to tick if you want it to. Instead, Sean McVay gets ultra aggressive, throws a pass on 2nd down, incomplete, throws a pass on 3rd down, incomplete, punt the ball back to the Seahawks. The Seahawks go in 45, 50 seconds, score a touchdown. All of a sudden, the Rams, instead of leading 13-10 entering halftime, are down 17-13. Who gets the ball coming out of the locker room? The Seahawks. What do the Seahawks do within 3 minutes of the start of the second half? They go down and score a touchdown. The Seahawks scored 14 points in about 3 minutes of game time at the end of the first half and at the beginning of the second half. That's hard to overcome for any team. And to think that you are the Rams on the road and you're leading 13-10, and then all of a sudden you're down 27-13 within 3 minutes of game time, it's very difficult to overcome.
What do you think of Sean Payton's performance? And I know they just showed the game, but with 6 minutes left, they took over at the New England 32-yard line and couldn't move the ball, and that's when the blocked field goal happened.
Yeah, and this is going to be a key question for Clint Kubiak in the Super Bowl for the Seahawks. It was an issue for the Houston Texans when they played the Patriots 2 weeks ago. When do you want to run the football against this Patriots run defense? Because this Patriots run defense has been elite. And on first down, after getting the ball at the 33-yard line of the Patriots, Denver starts the drive there, down 3 points with, like you said, 6 minutes to go. They decide to run the ball on first and 10 with a run game that has been completely ineffective from RJ Harvey the entire game. That run loses 3 yards. A second down pass gains no yards. All of a sudden, you're in long yardage in difficult conditions, completely not taking advantage of the situation. Stidham scrambles for some yards to try to set up a makeable field goal to tie the game at 13. But not only is it too far back for them to make it, interesting stat that came out, or discussion point, was that the holder of the Denver Broncos came out and said, Will Lutz, the kicker said that he thinks the holder was only 7 yards back from the line of scrimmage instead of 8 where they normally line up, but they were only 7 because they couldn't see the markings on the field and they were rushing it too much. And as a result of not having the holder where he should be, it was easier for the Patriots to tip the ball because of the trajectory and the arc on the football. And the Patriots blocked that kick. They got a fingertip on it, rerouted it, missed field goal. And that was a special teams blunder by the Denver Broncos that potentially cost them the game, as well as Sean Payton's decision-making there on the first down to call the run. Then we also saw special teams blunder that cost the Rams when Xavier Smith tries to catch the football, falling down backwards on the punt. When you, at that point, you just got to get out of the way. But what in the world is Sean McVay doing, sticking a guy who's young and inexperienced in that situation when you've had special teams issues all year? What does he do once that happens? The next couple of punts, who's back there to catch the ball? Kyren Williams. Is Kyren Williams going to run 30 yards after the catch? No, he's just there to catch the football, not make a mistake. He's a proven veteran. I don't know why they didn't have him in that situation earlier on in the game, but that cost them the game. So special teams mistakes in both of these championship games went a long way to actually deciding the outcome.
What was your reaction when McVay decided to kick the extra point to make it 31-27? Was that late third quarter?
Yeah, it was late third quarter. I thought, why not go for two? I don't know what like charts he's looking at. You know, maybe he's got access to obviously different stuff than some of us on Twitter were thinking, but I don't know why you wouldn't go for that, because it opens the door to more possibilities in the future. There were multiple situations after that point where if they had just kicked a field goal, they could have tied the game. Instead, you're always needing a touchdown. And the whole fourth quarter, you're needing a touchdown. There's no way to tie the game because there's not a 4-point play in the NFL. So I did not understand why they didn't just try to go for two. Some people say, oh, well, it's a high scoring game, so maybe you shouldn't because you don't want to chase the points that early. To me, I want to know what I need at that point on. I'm either going to be down 5 or I'm going to be down 3 and a field goal will tie the game. That's what I care most about. And if I am fortunate enough to be down 3 and I score a touchdown, guess what? Now the Seahawks can't kick a field goal to tie the game against me. Now the Seahawks need to score a touchdown to get back into the lead. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know about that decision-making whatsoever.
I'm with you on that one. Could this be an ugly, low-scoring Super Bowl based on how maybe these you can't run on both defenses?
It's definitely possible. The key question is, what do these offensive minds try to come up with? Because I do respect them both. Josh McDaniels, Clint Kubiak. With Sam Darnold, you've got a more proven commodity who's done it for longer, who is a bit more of a veteran presence there with that Clint Kubiak gets to work with. With Drake May, Josh McDaniels is going to try to figure something out against a very tough defense. But will we need to get both of these guys to lean into the pass game, or do they come out conservatively and try to run the football? Will that run game be successful? I think that is, honestly, when the Seahawks have the ball, that is the biggest question that I have in my mind with regard to Clint Kubiak is, you don't have Charbonnet. How much are you going to try to run the ball with Kenneth Walker on those first downs? And how effective are those runs going to be? Will they set you into second and long situations? Because I can tell you it's going to be very difficult to score points constantly battling out on second down on multiple series in a drive against the New England Patriots defense. You've got to have some efficiency on early downs, but if you don't from the run game, how are you going to develop that? We saw them lean a little bit more into the pass. The key with this in the NFC Championship game against the Rams, but the key to this game for me is, as it relates to that, the Seahawks are the number one most run-heavy team in the NFL. Over the course of all 60 minutes, nobody runs the ball at a higher rate. If you're just looking at early downs in the first half when, you know, game state is irrelevant because we're not yet there, they run the ball at the fourth highest rate. So you've got a very run-focused team that's going up against arguably the best run defense in the NFL now that Milt Williams is back. What is your decision going to be at that point in time? And then let's say if the Seahawks are able to have some success and they do get a lead, will they be able to finish that game off because they aren't having success running the football against such a good run defense of the New England Patriots? Or will they choose to throw the football a little bit in those situations? How many opportunities will the Seahawks or will the Patriots get when forcing a punt back? If the Seahawks are leading and they have to punt because they're trying to run out the clock and they can't against this Patriots run defense. So I think there's a lot of interesting late game states, but for me, the most curious one is just how effective are those early runs and will they lean into the run game or go a different route?
Warren, in about 2 minutes here, a lot of books already have some props out. They're going to slowly, you know, ease into the market in the next couple of days anyway. And then you're going to have thousands to bet on. How do you approach it? And what would you like, any advice for the audience here on how to attack a Super Bowl this early?
Well, I've already got a couple things that I've, you know, looked at, and there are certain states that I think that this it's going to be interesting for this game. So there's a couple of bets that I've made already from props perspective. And then there's waiting and trying to see what the rest of the market is going to do, which numbers are sort of moving in your direction, which numbers you have to go on early. Timing everything is going to be very important. During the season, we didn't get the massive prop dump until overnight on Wednesdays at most spots. And so you had Thursday to kind of scramble, figure out injury news and that sort of thing. Here we're getting it basically 2 weeks away. Yeah. We had them Sunday night into Monday morning. 80% of like the major props from like main key players, rushing, receiving, receptions, yardage, everything has already been numbered and lined and out there for people to start placing bets on. So it's some of those derivatives like you're talking about, like first quarter this or second half that are going to be coming out. Some of the matchup props that are a lot of fun to dabble with if you're familiar and good at handicapping other sports as well. So there's no shortage of props for the Super Bowl. And just because they come out with a lot early does not mean that they're not going to continue to add more and more late, scouring the marketplace to try to uncover some gems, figuring out when to strike. Those are probably the most important things that you can be doing over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, well said. Warren, thanks as always for the time. We appreciate it. Have a good week.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Follow him on X at Sharp Football. Sharp.football is the website. We'll give you some fun Super Bowl props that are out already and discuss what happened yesterday. Spin it forward to the Super Bowl. Drake May became the first quarterback in NFL history to accomplish this and the win. Here's what Drake May pulled off yesterday. First quarterback NFL history to throw for under 100 yards in the AFC title game and win. Won the game. Didn't do anything on offense. Here they are. You mentioned something during the break. We thought that J.K. Dobbins was going to play the entire week.
Yeah, another bad beat. He practiced all week and then couldn't go.
Uh-huh.
They could have used him yesterday. At least try to help out with the rushing attack or maybe some dump-offs. And the fact that that was nuts that they took over at the New England 33 with 6 minutes left after the shank bunt and then lost a couple yards and then the field goal was blocked. Four missed field goals in the game.
How about that?
10-7. And just don't make the mistakes, Stidham, and he did.
The first one that Lutz missed never had a chance.
No.
It was wide right immediately.
Yeah, that that first half money line and who could cover was wonky, too, with that
finish.
Tell
me about it. How confident are you? We can say this, we can't prove it, but how confident are you in the Broncos winning that game if Bo Nix is healthy?
Oh, very.
Like, he's extremely
very,
high.
Very, yes, very strong on it.
Yeah.
No doubt. I mean, the kid couldn't do anything. Like Nick Whalen said, early on in the game, they just tried a simple quick pass, and he was all over the
place.
How about
some of the chest passes, the grenades? And all? Like, what are we watching here?
He had one nice throw.
How about how he keeps running backwards?
Yep.
Every single time, like, bro, calm down a little bit here.
But if there was ever a time to try something and the creativity and the trick play, it was it. And he didn't try that either. But also you could question why put him in that position when there's 2-3 minutes left before halftime. It's 3rd and 4. You have the ball. New England can't move it. And he keeps going backwards. And he keeps running backwards. And he won't throw it. He won't throw it. Finally, as he's hit, he throws it.
Yep.
And then there's the fumble. And there's the 7 points to New England.
I will say this is probably an unpopular opinion, but it is what it is, I guess. I wish sportsbooks would go back to the way it used to be with the Super Bowl. And they would not post stuff until like Wednesday or Thursday. I want to be able to like think about the game for a little bit before we have to like plop down our money here now for a good 2 weeks and get ahead of this stuff immediately. Now, other people will say that you're losing an edge there and stuff's going to move, but it's fine. I just wish that they would all agree. Let's do it on Wednesday night, Thursday, whatever. And then, now, having said that, some of the props that are available right now, I thought these were kind of fun, Paulie, offshore. BetOnline has, will a Patriots linebacker catch a touchdown pass? And a nod to Mike Vrabel. Yes, 7-1.
Need more than that.
Yeah, the Russell Wilson play.
Yes.
Will the Seahawks attempt to pass from the opponent 1 yard line? The yes is plus 350. I'd take the yes on that.
Yeah. How many times are they going to show that play?
Over and over and over again.
Yes.
I think there's an angle there where, hey, it's 1st and goal at the 1. Kenneth Walker gets stopped twice in a row. Now here's a rollout from Darnold and he hits, you know, JSN, whatever, yeah. From the 1 yard line.
That's too bad. They do a good job and a good crew, but NBC has a Super Bowl. It'd be all right. It'd be interesting if Fox had it based on what. And I thought it's wild that Brady has really improved this year. And again, it's just nobody has anything positive to say about Romo. It's almost like
it's
getting
going
worse.
The other way. He's going the other way.
Because Romo comes in like a ball of fire and everyone loves him and he's predicting plays and this is great. And it just every year it's like, oh no. Okay, Jim, here we go. And he's got nothing.
So I'm watching.
And I know he was so bad his first year, but I loved the Philadelphia game when Brady showed how to throw in the wind and the demonstration there. And he certainly has upped his game and done a better job this year.
So I was watching the game yesterday at a sports book with a bunch of people, and the complaints were coming in about Brady, and I think they're justified. They wanted, like, the game yesterday that he's on, there were so many situations where the clock management came into and it was a big part of the game, and he rarely addressed it. And the people I'm watching the game with is like, Brady, this is why you're there. Tell us right now. You're the best quarterback of all time. Tell us about the clock. What's going on? What the quarterback should be thinking about right now? What the coaches are going? Like, what are the conversations? Yeah. We need more of that on the broadcast. So that wasn't me talking. And after it was brought to my attention, I'm like, okay, I can see your point.
Well, maybe Burkhart's got to lead him into that too.
Okay,
that could be the comeback. But
which Bay Area landmark will be shown first? The Golden Gate Bridge is a $5 favorite. Alcatraz is 3-1.
Well, I'd like to see a prop where they show Lombard Street. I think they're going to fit that in there
too. I think they will as well.
That they'll fit that now first or what? That's tough. Like, why should Golden Gate Bridge be $5?
I was going to say
over Alcatraz.
Yeah, you're going to give me 3-1 on an Alcatraz? I would take that shot.
You just see the new? You see the coyotes swimming out there? Did you believe that?
No, I missed that.
Oh, you did?
There was a coyote swimming out to Alcatraz.
Yes, yes.
Only one?
Guy took a video of it. Incredible.
Oh, man, okay. I'll have to check that out.
You watch the movie
yet? Did he make it all the way?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Now, which movie again was this?
Escape from Alcatraz, Eastwood. Great pick. They made it, Mitch. They got out. Well done. Great movie. True story.
Did you like The Rock?
Not really.
That's a good one.
No. But that's,
what? You don't like Connery?
One of the all-time corniest lines of in movie history.
Well,
the prom queen thing. Nick Cage a little bit over the top. Try to get him in studio, Luke. I like he's a local.
Yeah.
But this is there's so many different things they can show though too. But those are your three of your big boys.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think Lombard Street makes an appearance. You have to.
Now this which song is going to be sung by the crowd first? Country Roads, Even Money, Sweet Caroline, -140. Count me out for any of it. It'll probably be White Stripes. Dun, yeah. dun, 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 dun.
Well, it'll be interesting to talk to Frank B. too about how he's going to attack this game, because on paper, this could be ugly, where you can't run against New England. Yeah. You can't run against Seattle. And this Patriots averaging 18 a game in the playoffs, fewest for a team to advance to the Super Bowl since the 1979 Rams. And then Mike McDonald at quarterbacks under age 24 the last 2 years, 0-6, one touchdown, eight picks, 22 sacks.
Okay,
and all this time to prepare for Drake May. And I love the kid. He was awesome this year. He didn't have a lot of help last year. The offensive line was pathetic, but he has had a bad run in the playoffs.
So how low do you want to go with the total then? Give me like a scenario that we're going to watch this game unfold and it could actually land at what score? Like 13-7, how nuts do you want to get? I have all these alternate
13,
numbers.
13-10's in play.
13-10 final scores in play.
Yes, 16-13 could happen. Yes.
Okay, so 16-13. Under 29.5 is 8-1.
Very good.
What was the other one, 13-10 you said?
Yeah.
Under 23.5 is 15-1. I would even think, like, can we get a 24-10 type of game here? Under 34.5 is +390. Under 37.5, that's a key number. Could we get 20-17?
I'm bringing up the weather.
Under 37.5 is +255 in the game. Maybe it completely flips and May's awesome and they throw for a ton of yards in this game and Darnold keeps up with them.
Well, that crowd, I don't know. I just think Stafford and the Rams are so good. I mean, that's it. Other than the Tampa Bay game, which McDonald said changed the whole season after their bad performance. They've been so good defensively, other than what Stafford's done against them.
Yeah,
but that's also
that.
You're going against the number one offense and how well they've played. And there's weapons all over the place with that team.
I mean, when you're watching that game unfold yesterday, and again, Darnold was great. Did you, like, bets aside, did you not want the Rams in the Super Bowl because of the high-powered offense here? And Puka and Devontae.
I was ambivalent. The Darnold story's great.
I would agree.
I mean, other than what Chris Chandler was on six different teams, they lost to the Broncos. Darnold, five different teams and able to make it. And after how poorly it went with the Jets and Minnesota could have had him. Nah, we're good. And he gets the one seed and now goes to the Super Bowl. It's a great redemption story.
We have for Sunday, the day of the game.
60?
63.
No rain.
As of right now.
Yeah.
0% chance of precipitation. Can we get a Metallica sighting from the area?
Will they play a concert before again? They're going to do that again? They did that last time.
Yeah.
They played at the Giants Park.
That's right.
Too heavy for halftime, they called it.
Absolutely dumb. Yeah. They had Coldplay there. I'll never forget that. Super Bowl 50, the first time I was ever in the Bay, at that new stadium.
Yeah.
Coldplay instead of Metallica. Good choice, guys.
Yeah, they blew it again. It's unfortunate. If you love the moments that make sports betting unforgettable, don't miss the top 10 most memorable sports betting moments of 2025. You can check out the list 20 through 11. There's some doozies on there. And hosted by Tim Murray tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern, the biggest swings, wildest finishes, the most unforgettable tickets. Relive the moments bettors won't stop talking about. Check out 11 through 20 right now, posted by Adam Burke, and Tuesday at 1 Eastern, only on VSiN. There were some sick beats and some wild tickets that cashed, and they'll run it all down tomorrow. And you forget about some of this stuff.
Oh, it's going to be a good show.
In the list, yes.
If you think the Patriots are going to win, -2.5 is +230. If you want to go, will they win by a touchdown? -6.5 is +470. Could they win by a couple of scores? -10.5 is 8-1.
Well, you know why. You know how. It's going to beat Sam Darnold. You turn the ball over, Mitch. Led the league in turnovers.
No more doubting Sam Darnold.
That's right.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to check out Circus Squares. They're board up next. Jamie Pileggi is going to join the program, NFL lead odds maker at Circa. He's in charge of posting these props. We'll run it all down, the popularity, how they come to these numbers. And that's all coming up next on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.